Yeah. I wanted to share a couple of thoughts about a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai concerning how much of the Hallel is recited prior to the eating of the meal. We know that as we recite the Haggadah and we make a statement, Lefikach anachnu chayavim lehodos ulahalel leshabeach lefor leromer, in 20 different words we say the same thing. We have to praise God. V'nomar lefanav shira chadasha hallelujah. Now we start saying Hallel. So Beit Shammai says you only say the first paragraph of Hallel, Hallelujah, and it concludes Moshivi akeres abayis em abanim smecha Hallelujah, and then you conclude the Magid. And after benching, you start with B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. And we, of course, follow Beis Hillel, that we say not only Halleluka, Hallelu Avdei Hashem before the meal, but also the paragraph of B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, and the Hallel after benching resumes with the third paragraph, Lolanu Hashem Lolanu. And the question that I want to focus for a few minutes is, what exactly is the nature of the debate? Why does Shammai say this, and why does Hillel say this? So the Rav explained the machloikis along the following lines, and that Hillel gives rise to a very important principle that has 50,000 applications. Shammai says that since the fourth cup of wine is reserved for Hallel, that's the whole fourth cup of wine is, just on Hallel. We don't say anything else. Say Hallel. At least mention at that time the paragraph that describes the exodus of Mitzrayim. But say Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. So Shammai says, yes, we have to say some Hallel at the beginning, because once you describe the miracles, you should say thank you right away. So just say enough. Hallelujah, hallelujah, avdei Hashem. Yehi shem Hashem mevarach mi'atavi ad olam. That's enough. But the paragraph which says, B'tzeis Yisrael mi'mitzrayim, which is the entire story of tonight, that should be allocated, dedicated, and reserved for the bracha for which we call Hallel. Therefore, Shammai says, only one paragraph of Hallel recited before, the rest of Hallel is recited after, starting with B'tzeis Yisrael mi'mitzrayim. Hillel obviously believes that even before the meal, and one is already saying Hallel, you already have to make mention as to why you're saying Hallel tonight. Why am I saying Yehi Shem Hashem Mivarach Mi'atav Yad Olam? Why am I saying Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo'o Mehulo Shem Hashem? Why am I saying Hallel right away? Because B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. So therefore Hillel demands that as soon as the Hallel segment begins, you already have to include with that segment the Michayev, the paragraph that engages in the description of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So then what's the Hallel at the end of benching? After benching, what's that Hallel related to? If I already said B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim before, what is the Hallel afterwards? So here, the principle is, according to Hillel, that it does not necessarily mean that I'm saying Hallel after benching only on Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is a following Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, chapter 9. Chapter 9. Okay? Now, Met fans will be able to relate to this very easily. Very. Now, Yankees would have a difficult time. Anytime a Met fan goes to Fenway Park, he says, thank you, the Rabbeinu Shalom, for the miracle of 86. Thank you. But he will also say, thank you for the miracle of when? When did he win the one? 69. That took place in Baltimore. Because the halacha is, any time HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle in one location, whenever you come to that location, you're supposed to say, thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, for doing a miracle in this location for me. But if he did a miracle in two places, whenever you come to location one, you say, thank you for doing a miracle location in this location and in the other location. So if a Met fan goes to Fenway in the middle of the summer, he says, Baruch Sha'asali Nes Bamakam Azeh, Ubamakam Acher, that's Baltimore's Memorial Park. It doesn't even stand anymore. But it means in Baltimore. If you go to Baltimore, then you'll say the same. Baruch Sha'asali Nes Bamakam Azeh, and in Fenway Park. That's the principle. That when you are obligated to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one miracle, you're always obligated to say thank you for everything else. That principle was established in benching. According to Torah law, Birchat HaMazon has three brachot. Hazan, Moshe, Al Aretz V'Al HaMazon, Yehoshua, and Rachemna, which was established a combination of David and Shlomo. What was the bracha of Hatoy V'Hametiv, who hetiv, who metiv, who yetiv? So the Gemara says that bracha was established in conjunction with a miracle. Haruge Beitar. After the Bar Kokhba revolt, so Am Yisrael were rebelling against Roman authorities to reestablish political independence in Israel. And there was a massive slaughter in Beitar. Massive. According to most historians, it was the second largest massacre in Jewish history, right after the Shoah. 1.5 million Jews lost their lives in Beitar at that time. 1.5 million. And the majority of Chachmei Yisrael. That's why after Beitar, the Gemara says, Nisraba HaMachloikis. All the Machloikis took place between Beshama and Beselnes. Until that time, there was no Machloikis. The first six generations of Tanaim only argue about one case. One case, it's a Mishnah in Chagiga. If you look at the first six generation of Tanaim, look at the Mishnah in the first parak of Avos. Moshe Kibbutz Rami Sinai, right? Then you get to the Zugos, right? The Zugos, the pairs. These two, Shmai and Avtalia and Kiblu Mehem. This Shimon ben Shatach and Yehuda ben Tabai Kiblu Mehem. If you look in Chagiga, you will see that all of them argue about only one case in Jewish. It's the only machloikis they ever had. That whole six generations until after the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai. Because Beitar took place, massive execution of all Chachmei Yisrael. Torah Shebaal Peh was lost and had it to be rediscovered. Rediscovered. Okay. When they were killed, the Romans did not allow the bodies to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. Not to be buried at all. So a double miracle took place. One, their bodies did not decay. Under ordinary circumstances, a body that's left out on the field would decay. And number two, eventually they were buried in a Jewish cemetery. So the Gemara says, we made the bracha, Hatov Shelo Hisrichu, thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, that their bodies did not decompose. V'hametiv, you were good again. Shenitnu l'kfuras Yisrael, that they were eventually given burial. How did this bracha become part of benching? From benching, how did it become part of benching? It had to do with one circumstance. Haruge Beita, thanking God for the miracle. But the Chachamim appendaged it to Berchas HaMazon. Why? Because if you're obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food, say thank you for everything. Hu hetiv, hu metiv, hu yetiv. So that's an important principle that we establish. Namely, when there is a mechayev to say hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one thing, when there's a mechayev to say thank you for one, you use that opportunity to offer a general statement of thanks. We do that when we bench Gomel as well. Somebody was ill, and they get up to the Torah and say, Birchas HaGomel. HaGomel lechayevim tovot, shegmolani kol tov. Not tov zeh. Why am I saying Birchas HaGoyim now? Because I was sick and I got better. I crossed the ocean and I survived it. But you don't say thank you just for that. You say Hagamel Chayavim Tov Shegmalani Kol Tov. And when we respond, Mishigmal Chodan Hu Yigmalcha Kol Tov Sela. Says Hillel, that's exactly what things happening at the Seder as well. Hallel for Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place when? Right after Magid. Right after Magid. You say, thank you for Yetzias Mitzrayim. How is that indicated? By saying the paragraph, Hallelujah, Kalu of the Hashem, and B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, Hayam Rav, Ayanos, Hayadeni, Yisrael Lachon. Thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, for what you did in the drama of Yetzias Mitzrayim, including Kriyas Yamsuf. Now I sit there and fress my whole meal. Comes afterwards, what happens? You have to say Hallel again. You don't need Yetzias Mitzrayim as the Mechayeh for the second time. Why? Because the principle is, once there was a Mechayeh to say Hallel for Yetzias Mitzrayim, you're now obligated to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything else that He did.
So why is it interrupted?
What?
Why is it interrupted?
It's a good question. I don't have a really good answer as to why it was interrupted. I haven't really found a good answer. Question has bothered many. It's a very good question. Why didn't they say the whole Hallel at the end? Well, so, and then you won't say that. That paragraph will introduce Hallel after benching. We'll say Baruch Pi Hagafen to fill up the fourth kais and say Lefika Chanachnu Chayavim LaHaydeis Ulahalel. Okay, it's a good question. So the way people answer it is as follows. What they answer to your question is that people can't wait until the formal requirement for Hallel, because when something good happens to you, there's a spontaneous outburst to say thank you. You want to say thank you right away. You want to say thank you. And that's the way the Brisker Rav, for example, explained, why is there no bracha on Hallel at the Haggadah? Whenever we say Hallel, we say a bracha. Sheker Hashanah b'mitzvah sev, tzivanu l'kroos ha-Hallel. Now this question has been asked by every Rishon on the planet. Why is there no Hallel? No bracha on Hallel. So 50 answers. The Brisker Rav says, because Pesach at night, you don't wait for a tzivui, a command, to say Hallel. It's a spontaneous outburst. It's Shevach. It's Shira. It's not just old-fashioned Hallel, where I'm told, like on Rosh Chodesh or on Yontiv, yeah, you got to say Hallel. No. A person can't help himself. So the way to accommodate that need, that incredible desire, that burst of energy, so at least say something, then when cool minds will prevail, after you stuffed yourself, then you'll go ahead and say the rest of Hallel. So the principle that emerges from Hillel then is that Hallel is split. The first part of the Mechayev of Hallel is Hallel and Tzias Mitzrayim. Then, for whatever else HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have done, not necessarily Tzias Mitzrayim. In fact, in the rest of Hallel, there's not one mention of Tzias Mitzrayim in the rest of Hallel. Not one. Zero. And you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything else. Especially when you'll say Hallel HaGadol. You'll mention the Mitzrayim, but then you'll also say what? Noisein lechem l'chol basar, kili olam chasdo. Kili olam chasdo. And pursuing this thought, the Hallel after benching takes on a much more universal tone to it. The Hallel before benching, before the meal, is particularistic. It's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what He did for us. For us. We were redeemed from Mitzrayim. The rest of the nations of the world have no connection to that. Zero. Hallel after the meal is a universal Hallel where we acknowledge what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for every living creature. No sein lechem l'chol basar, not just Jew, and expresses the hope and aspiration that one day nishmat Kol Chai Tivarech Et Shimcha Hashem Elokeinu. That every single soul on this planet will have the recognition of what we say in Oleinu L'Shabeach every day. Many believe that because this is the theme of the Hallel, it was introduced by Shvoi Chamascha. Shvoi Chamascha introduces the Hallel. Why? Why? Because in the Hallel we are going to make a statement that the Messianic era is going to be emerged, it will be recognized, when all of the nations of the world will come and say, God, you are the Holy One. You're it. They don't have to be Jewish, as we always say. They have to observe Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and that's it. That's it. Don't kill anybody, don't murder anybody, don't steal from anybody, don't engage in idolatrous pagan behavior. That's all you got to do. So that means we will never experience Geula until Ahmadinejad says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one God. Now, at times, they got a little tired waiting for Ahmadinejad to come along and say this. So what do they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Hallel? Shvoi Chamascha al Agoyim Asher Lo Yida'ucha. You know what, Rabbi Nishalem? You gave him enough. Yet you are patient enough. You've given them an opportunity to come around and sing your praises, and they're not interested. So what should you do? Get rid of them. Pour your wrath upon them. Once you eliminate all of the cancers against those who don't want to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, automatically whoever remains is prepared to do so. And then we will experience the Messianic era, which we anticipate and describe at the end of Hallel, where every single living creature will sing praise unto the Rabbeinu Shalom. So assuming that this universal tone is accurate, and it is, at the second part of Hallel, particularly according to Hillel, where you divorce it from Betzeis Yisrael and Mitzrayim, then you can understand and appreciate why Shvoi Chamascha El Agoyim is recited here as the introduction to the Hallel. In fact, the Beis Halevi points out that if you look at the Shvoi Chamascha, the whole thing is written in the plural, except for one phrase, one line, one sentence. Shvei chamascha agayim asher lo yidaucha va'al malchos asher b'shimcha lo karau. Now, what should have been the plural continuing? Ki achlu et Yaakov ve'esnaveu eshamo. Right? Ki achlu is Yaakov. And then we go at the end. Tirdof ba'av sashmideim mitach hashmei Hashem. We go back to plural. Except for the phrase, ki ochal es Yaakov ve'esnaveu Hesham. What does this mean? So the Beis Halevi says, very much akin to Rashi's opening remark at the beginning of Parshas Balak. What does the pasuk say? Vayar Balak ben Sipor, Eis asher asa Hashem lo'emori. And suddenly what happens? He calls, Moav calls Bilam from the nation of Midian to go curse. So who remembers Rashi's remark? Balak ben Sipor, Melech Moav, and Midian, they were enemies. They hated each other. Rashi quotes all kinds of psukim, show that Moab and Midian hated each other. And now they're cooperating here. Yeah, why? This is a common enemy. Am Yisrael. So when you have a common enemy, every anti-Jew can put aside their differences and focus on the enemy. So the Beis Halevi says that's what's happening as well. Shvei chamascha al agayim shalai dechavam shim chalai karav. Ki ochal es Yaakov. All of them were united into one to do what? To devour Yaakov and to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That's Naveo Hesham. So therefore, once again, you have this united front, and when you have a united front, it's difficult for them to cave in. So therefore we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? Shvoi chamascha el agayim, to enable us to experience the ge'ulah, which we are anticipating and waiting for at the end of the Hallel experience, at the end of the Hallel experience. So in which case, the machloikis between Shammai and Hillel really revolves around what is the mechayev of Hallel during the fourth kais. According to Shammai, the mechayev is Sipit Yis Mitzrayim. And that's why you say that paragraph, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim after benching. According to Hillel, the mechayev of Hallel after benching is no longer Yitzias Mitzrayim, but rather the broad general rule that you're obligated to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything that takes place for you at that particular time. Yeah. So I'm going to... Now, the Beis Halevi, commenting on the Hallel, and this I did say Wednesday night, but it's worth repeating, says that there is a phrase at the end of Hallel which translated the way it should be translated, the way the Pasuk reads, gives one thought, but if you if you vowelize one word a little differently, a total different thought comes about. We recite in Hallel, Odecha ki ani sani vatehili lishua. I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you answered me. Odecha ki ani sani. Says the Beis Halevi, citing a Medrash. The Medrash says, as Moshe begins singing the Shira, Oz Yashir Moshe, says Moshe, Amma Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'oz chatasi, ube'oz ani asid l'shir. I sinned to you using the word oz, and now I'm going to repair it by singing oz yashir Moshe. Where did I sin against you using the word oz? At the end of Parsha Shmos. Ume'oz basi leparo, heira l'amazeh. What happened? Moshe came to Paro in the name of God and said, let my people go. What was Paro's response? A bunch of lazy good-for-nothings. Nirpim atem. Bunch of lazy people. Tichbad ha'avodah. Make the work demands harder. Much more difficult. So Moshe turns to Rabban Shem and says, from the time, the moment I came to Paro, you made things worse. Hey ra lo omazeh. Why'd you send me in the first place? So Moshe Rabbeinu acknowledges at the Yam Suf, I said the word "us," and it was used as a transgression. I'm now going to repair and say it positively. Says the Beis Halevi, re-vowelize the words "Odecha ki ani sani." It's "Odecha ki ini sani." Thank you for making me suffer. Thank you for making me suffer. So the standard interpretation of making you suffer is because you can't appreciate chayrus until you suffer a little. That's the standard interpretation. You can't reckon it. If somebody's free all the time, if somebody's free, a millionaire, he can't experience what it means to have been poverty stricken and then to be redeemed. You have to, in order to appreciate it, you have to experience the other side. That's the standard interpretation. Why Odecha ki ini sani? The Rav said no. Not just that. There is an incredibly valuable lesson that we learned when we suffer. What lesson do we learn? That prayer is effective. And that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers our prayers in the affirmative. A person cannot pray adequately, sincerely, unless there's a sense of recognition that I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm totally dependent upon it. If everything is, you know, everything is a bowl of cherries, it's difficult to pray. That's why I always say American Jewry finds it difficult to pray because things are too good, much too good. But when somebody, and that perspective changes, you know, Rahmanul Islam, there's a friend of yours or a relative that suddenly gets ill, suddenly a person, is, like you're saying, is daven sech abisal besser. Because you know what it means to be dependent upon a Kaddish Baruch Hu. If a doctor says, I don't know if this treatment's going to work, I don't know. So the davening is a little better. So, Odecha ki anisani, I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for having exposed me to some suffering, because now I learned something. I learned how effective tefillah is, and that hopefully I can use that experience, even when things are going well, for me to recognize what sincere, earnest tefillah is all about. I hope I can recognize that. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says the same thing. I'm going to sing, Oz Yashi Moshe, but I'm going to reflect as well about Tichbad HaAvoda, the bad times. And I recognize that Am Yisrael prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that they learned something about the medium of prayer. And I hope that that will carry over, even at times when Am Yisrael are going well, when they're experiencing Kriyas Yamsuf, as well to recognize how dependent they are of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll stop here.